All right. This is the In the Word podcast with Will and Marie. I'm Will.
And I'm Marie.
And we welcome you to episode 263 of this great podcast. I say great not because of us, but because of the subject matter,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The Word of God. It's
Amen.
Great.
Amen.
It's always great.
Amen.
And we've started this little passage study in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And we only got to 21 last time. We'll probably only get to 21 or a little bit of 22 this time. But not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. What translation are you reading from?
New American Standard.
Can you read that, just that one verse in the NASB?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter.
Yes. All right. Right. So last week, our last episode, we talked about the importance of this particular Hebrew literary style of redundancy for emphasis, saying, Lord, Lord, this confession. We went back and looked at some of the history of that. Actually, there's one more that I didn't talk about in the last episode, and that was the instance where Lord, Lord is mentioned in Matthew 25:11. Sister Marie, you want to turn to that? Matthew 25:11. Let's look at that one also. That's one more time. This redundancy for emphasis format is employed, and it's in the parable of the 10 virgins. And that phrase comes up again in verse 11. Sister Marie, you want to read that verse 11 of Matthew 25?
Yes, it says, later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us.
But he answered and said, I'm reading from the King James Version, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Mm. Wow, that's very similar, isn't it?
Yes.
That's scary similar to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, because the Lord almost uses the same language. I don't know you. You know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, is what it says in Matthew 7, 23. But that same phrase, I don't know you, I never knew you, I don't know who you are, what you're doing, or what you're talking about.
Right.
Wow. So that suggests, you know, and that's why I said I wanted to kind of like revisit this verse again in Matthew 7, 21, because I wanted to parlay it with Matthew 25, 11, and 12, and suggest that, Marie, this means history. I think this talks about the Lord is going all the way back. Like, dude, you were never saved. I don't think this passage constitutes a discussion of backsliders,
right,
or people who lost their way or had a crisis of faith. I don't think this is anything about people, you know, sort of getting off the beaten path. I think this has everything to do with people who were never saved to begin with.
But they thought they were. Yeah.
And maybe, by the way, they didn't even think they were.
Yeah.
You know.
They just were doing it the way they were.
They were doing it. They were creating their own, I call it Franken faith.
Yeah.
They were creating their own faith, making it up as they go,
right,
setting their own parameters, setting their own rules and boundaries, you know, basically not even considering the scripture as being, you know, the arbiter of truth.
Right. When you think about the scripture that talks about the path being narrow, you know, and then the other gate being wide or whatever, then it... for people to come before God and really think that they're okay with him when they know they haven't been following him. Are they looking for God to, you know, accept them anyway or forgive them, you know, because they're calling him Lord or, you know, whatever?
Yeah.
It's like,
I think they're still playing games, you know, and like you asked in the last episode, are they self-deceived? Or are they just being hypocritical?
Right.
You know, and they know they're wrong.
Right.
And they have no illusions of any sort of truth. Kind of like, I think in Acts 8, I think Simon the sorcerer knew he was wrong. You know, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit for monetary gain. He wasn't interested and being sanctified or being converted.
But this
or,
is for eternity.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to play around with right. with life.
Yeah.
When eternity is at stake.
Haven't we all done that at some point in time? You know, I think most of us would have to say, you know, number one, we know that we were saved by grace. But I think most of us would have to say that at some point in our life, we didn't believe or didn't embrace the gravity of accepting Christ or rejecting Christ. I think we just didn't really dawn on us how serious this was.
Mm, yeah. As we study the word, though, I think we become now, more exactly. and more convinced that it's true.
Exactly.
But when you come to God, the Bible, you know, that shows belief right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So could you ever take that what you've learned and later on you don't know it anymore? And you know what I'm saying? Like you go back and forth or?
Well, I think that's another good question. And I guess only the Lord knows our hearts
Who's been truly saved from the beginning.
Yeah, that's why he tells us not to judge. Yeah. We can discern, but we're not to judge a person's motives or their heart because only God can see their heart. We can judge a tree by the fruit it bears,
right.
but only God knows if these people were ever sincere, if they ever mm-hmm. were converted, if they ever believed, you know, or just were going through the motions. I would love what it says. John wrote in 1 John 2:19, these people left our churches. But John said, but they never really belonged with us.
Yeah.
I'm reading for the NLT. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when they left,
mm-hmm.
it proved that they did not belong with us. That single verse and verses like it in scripture that kind of suggest the same thing tells me that these people were never converted.
Hmm.
They were never truly saved. They may have been even followers or disciples like the people in John 6 who walked no more with him when he started calling for a commitment. But I think these people were on the perimeter. They were on the periphery. They were just looky-loos, and they were caught up in the fish and the loaves and the miracles, right. but there was never a heart transfusion.
So would you say that when you're really saved, you're saved from the very beginning? Life still may be tough. We still have to work at our salvation and all of that. So that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that at the very beginning, the commitment is firm.
Yeah.
Regardless of how ignorant you are,
confess with your mouth.
Right. Okay. Believe in your heart.
Yes.
That Jesus.
You're
is
saved.
Lord.
Just keep walking the
yes.
walk. And you have trials and tests and troubles and don't give up because the right. Lord. And when we learn that the Lord is there, that means the power. We have the power
right.
to do what's right.
Spirit.
And God is
right.
going to lead us in that direction. And
it's
so,
all
and
truth.
We surrender to it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
To him.
So Lord, help us to
yes.
feel that way. And be that way, and to help us to truly be converted. If any of you listening have not been saved, I would implore you to please accept the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ as your Savior and be saved and believe Him,
yes,
serve Him in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen.